Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Hope you've had a great week. Well, here's my question for you to think about today. How would you describe your prayer life? How would you describe your prayer life? This is not condemnation. This is always about invitation, that God always invites us to more. I'm wondering, do you consider yourself a prayer guardian? Well, my guest today says that to be a watchman, to be a mature intercessor, we have to know how to wait, how to be at the ready, how to be alert to the presence and the plan of God and confident of His will. Do you long to know His will and to walk in greater intimacy with Him in such a way that you start to see power in your prayer life? Well, my guest today is Dr. James Gall, and he joins me to invite us to embark on a journey of faith to become strong sentinels that God created us to be. Title of his book, and I'm telling you what, love this book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman, A 21-Day Journey to Becoming a Guardian in Prayer. I feel like this godly, amazing mentor man has written this book because he wants to mentor this army of intercessors up into the fullness of what it means to be an intercessor. And if you long to be mentored, I'm telling you, this book is just chock full of wisdom. We've got 3 copies to give away. We're not taking calls today. So if you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. That's Susie@myfaithradio.com. Also, just to remind you, we've got friends listening in from around the world who started listening by our Faith Radio app. And if you're not always near a radio and you don't want to miss your favorite show or you want to catch podcasts after the fact, go to Apple App Store or on Google Play and search Faith Radio Network. It's a free app, and you can live stream our shows from anywhere and listen to those podcasts after the fact. It's a great, great resource. Tell your friends about it, too. Be a radio missionary. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get him on the show. Dr. James Gall is the founder of God Encounter Ministries and the author of more than 30 books and 20 Bible study guides. He shared the love of Jesus in more than 50 nations, teaching and imparting the power of intercession, prophetic ministry, and life in the Spirit. He has 4 grown children, numerous grandchildren. He lives in Franklin, Tennessee. You can learn more about him on the web at jamesgall.com. Dr. James Gall, welcome to the program. So nice to meet you.
Hey, great to be with you. And you have a global outreach, and I am thrilled to be able to join you to spread the good news of Jesus and being watchmen on the walls for such a time as this.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and I don't know if you appreciated the godly mentor man title, but that fits you, I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. Well, James, we love to start our conversations talking scripture, and we just love the Word of God, and I know you do too. I'm wondering if you either have a life verse that you carry with you or just one you've been just maybe pondering on, lingering around a bit that you can share with us today.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. You know, very few people have their, I call it like their plumb line, in place, and have even what they consider a life verse. So one of them, as related to this subject, the lifestyle of a watchman, for me would be Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7, that on your walls I have chosen, or the word is I have appointed watchmen, who give him no rest and give themselves no rest until, I love the until in there, Jerusalem is established as a praise in the earth. That's one of my life verses. And I don't only read the word, I pray the word. And I already want to encourage the listeners out there, don't just read your Bible, pray your Bible.
So good. Would you, first of all, I'd love for you to cast a vision for what a guardian in prayer is, what an intercessor, a mature intercessor looks like.
Thank you very much. You know, some years ago I wrote the book, The Seer, and in it I was asked questions, and then the the issue is every prophet a seer, and is every seer a prophet? And so the way I use a very simple thing is that seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. And it's just in that area, there's a very different classifications of different prophetic type people. Well, it's the same type of thing when it comes to intercessors, prayer warriors, or whatever term we want to use. Are watchmen intercessors, and are all intercessors watchmen? Well, I would have to say yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. Because all intercessors need to be watching. Jesus is the one who said, could you not, King James says, tarry with me an hour. He didn't say, could you not pray with me an hour? That's what we think he says. Now, I'm not saying he didn't, he was against that. No, but what he said was, could you not tarry, which another translation of that is, could you not watch with me for an hour? And so this particular lifestyle of a watchman, a guardian in prayer, is about that ambassadorial prayer person who is on the walls, and we are watching to see what the Lord is doing. And Jesus only did those things, it says, which he saw the Father doing. Intercessors, these kind of watching guardian intercessors, are to be watching to see what is the Father doing, and have discerning so as to know ahead of time what is the enemy's plans, so as to bind them or cause them to be of less effect. And so guardians in intercession are these wonderful watchmen who open doors and shut doors in Jesus' name through prayer.
Hmm. Would you say, James, that these intercessors, these guardians in prayer, mm-hmm. are a select few? Like, this is a specific calling that kind of apprehends certain believers? Are you saying that this is an invitation for all of us to rise up to?
You ask great questions. Hmm. And again, I'm going to go yes and no. So the reason is this. In the scripture that I opened with, Isaiah 62, it says, I have appointed. Another translation renders it, I have chosen watchmen on the walls. So I want to say to all of you prayer warriors out there, all of you intercessors, all of you who stand in the gap between God's righteous judgments that are due and the need for mercy on the people's behalf, I want to say to you, you've been chosen.
Hmm.
You have a divine appointment. Now, does every believer have that appointment? I believe yes. I believe every prayer counts. I believe every prayer matters with God. But I also believe God calls, graces, and empowers prayer believers to different spheres so they might be given a gift of faith. They might have a gift of discerning of spirits. They might be endowed, empowered with a particular grace gift of the Holy Spirit that allows them to function perhaps in an additional sphere of authority. So I believe we're chosen. I believe you're called. And I do believe that there are various stages and steps in being the levels of authority and being a guardian and a watchman in prayer.
Well, you say in your book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman, you write this, the call to be a watchman is a call into grand adventures. It is laced with the quiet satisfaction of knowing the pleasure of the Lord, and it is underscored by the revelation that history belongs to the intercessors, the ones who watch faithfully. James, I'd love for you to really specially comment on that last statement, that history belongs to the intercessors, those who watch faithfully. Say more, if you would.
Well, thank you very much. Again, I just love this because, you see, now, I'm going to now talk in a little bit general way, and I want to encourage every believer that's out there. Remember, every prayer matters and every prayer counts. But there is no special gift listed anywhere in the Bible called worship, prayer, praise, or intercession. And it's because it's the equal opportunity employment card for every believer. You can pray, you can worship, you can praise, and you can intercede now. But I am so convinced that we are called to be co-laborers with Christ Jesus. We're called to labor with him. Remember Isaiah 62 again. It is, give him no rest. What? You who remind the Lord. So I do believe history belongs to the intercessors, and in this book, it's about a lifestyle, not just about 1 hour that you might spend or 5 minutes that you might spend. It is about allowing the Holy Spirit to burden your heart whenever he wants, and then you responding to his heart. And so history belongs to the intercessors. And wow, could we ever go through some church history, whether it's Reese Howe and World War II and the intercession in Wales that took place during World War II, or perhaps the prayers of a Corrie ten Boom, or how about the prayers of so many in the Bible, the Deborahs and the Josephs, and so I want, and the Esthers. But God has Deborahs and Josephs and Esthers appointed for today, appointed, and you are one of them.
If you imagine, too, and you think about, I often say on the show, if we could pull ourselves out of the smaller story and see the bigger story. So if you've got a prodigal, what if you started to pray for prodigals everywhere? If you've got a marriage hanging on by a thread, what if you became an intercessor for marriages? It's like the enemy's plan automatically backfires because you become an intercessor about the very cry of your heart, because it totally echoes the cry of God's heart. Well, when we come back, I'll ask you, James, just talk about the combination of intercession, where it is really so about sweet fellowship with God, but it's also about perseverance and labor in prayer. And maybe that's why so few are willing to engage at that level, because it costs something. We'll talk more about that talking to James Gall today. Title of his book is The Lifestyle of a Watchman, A 21-Day Journey to Becoming a Guardian in Prayer. 3 copies to give away. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. That song on repeat so many times. Do It Again by Elevation Worship. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise. Talking to Dr. James Gall today. Title of the book that he just released is The Lifestyle of a Watchman, 21-Day Journey to Becoming a Guardian in Prayer. And would love for you to talk about the juxtaposition, James, of sweet, intimate fellowship with the Lord, but also the call in intercession to battle, to persevere, to labor. And again, maybe that is why so few want to engage at that level. Say a word if you would.
Well, perseverance, you know, that is that is a word in the Bible. I'm laughing. Of course, you guys hear me laughing. And there's a reason. There's some words we don't really like. Or is it the words that we don't like? Or is it what the words mean? Okay, putting humor aside, perseverance, again, matters. Paul the Apostle talked about godliness and perseverance, that it brings forth good fruit. Wow. We live in such an age of instant everything.
Mm-hmm.
Instant media. I love media, by the way, and so do you. Everything's at our fingertips. Can you imagine years ago, a 24/7 news channel did not exist? And today we have instant everything. Today we have instant foods. And in the past, oh, everything was homemade bread. Everything took time to rise. But today we might just drive up and we get ticked if we get impatient if our order is a little delayed. Now, sometimes we treat God like he is the drive-up menu guy, and we're telling him this, and this. We pull up, and we want it right now. Well, if you really want a really good, if you really want to have a real balanced, healthy, nutritious, organic meal, it might take a little while for it to be prepared, and you're going to savor it when you eat it. So what does that have to do with this? A lot. I'm trying to promote a lifestyle, not just an urgent, immediate rush to do something. I believe in spontaneous. I believe in the now. I believe the Holy Spirit comes upon us, but I also believe that he deposits caring and bearing and birthing things into being. One thing I want to touch real fast. You mentioned backsliders in that sense. Some of you who might have like a child who grew up in the faith and is not walking in the faith now, take that. And as you, wherever you sow seed, you will reap. So if you will sow seed in behalf of others and call them forth in the name of Jesus and call forth laborers to be released across their lives and to call forth that their hearts be turned and the Malachi prophecies be fulfilled and the hearts of the fathers turned and the hearts of the children turned and the spirit of conviction concerning sin, righteousness, and judgments come. And if you will sow that for others, you will reap what you sow. So I want to encourage you to never quit. Some assignments are for a moment, and some assignments are for a lifetime. And so persevere, give yourself to the cause, because prayer is one of the greatest purposes of God that any of us can engage in.
Really is so true. I mean, he invites us into that inner throne room, and the Bible says we can be assured of his glad welcome, and he invites us to partner with him. I mean, it's scandalous when you think about it, and it's a wonder that everything else seems to occupy our attention and time when the star-breathing God of the universe invites us to know him intimately. I, you know, that's one of the things that gets me out of bed every day, James, is I want nobody to have any regrets. I want you to wake up and live like those promises are true. And I would love to know just from your own life. We've probably got about 4.5 minutes to our hard break bottom.
Okay.
Just times you persevered and got to the other side and thought, it was worth it. I'm so glad I stuck with it, with the Lord. Well, do you have a thought that comes to mind?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a parent, okay, first of all, let me just say this. My wife and I, we were not physically able to have children. It was medically documented impossible that we could have children. But I also had a dream in the second year of our marriage that said, you'll have a son. His name will be called Justin. Well, today, I have 4 miracles. And I got to watch those miracles grow up in my home. And today, they're all married and married well. And today, they are having children of their own. I just had my 7th grandchild born last week. And so guess what? We persevered in prayer because that which was not could be. And the Lord gave it to me in a dream, and we persevered, and we did not give up. And the Lord rewarded and brought a miraculous heat, healing into my wife's midsection, and it might be an old testimony, but to me it's a new one, because today I have grandchildren because we prayed those promises with perseverance, and we did not give up.
Wow. Okay, tell me this. How would you define roadblocks to prayer, to this kind of intercession? What are some common roadblocks that we might even miss, but they actually just get in the way of what God is calling us to?
That's really good. I'll try to do this real quick. So first of all, I would say gossip. Some people end up, like in prayer gatherings, they'll end up talking about people versus talking to God about people. So we got to be careful about being a talebearer. Another issue, and that would be criticism. Don't let criticism and let your prayers turning into complaining. Another thing would be scripture-based, Bible-based. Pray the word of God. Another thing is having right relationships, because it'll talk about in 1st, 2nd Peter about a husband and a wife relationship, and if the husband isn't walking right with his wife, it says their prayers will be hindered. So relationships, walking in peace in the kingdom of God, affects our prayers.
Boy, that's fantastic. And would you believe you did that with still a minute and a half to spare?
Well, how about unforgiveness? How about worship and praise? Because I enter into his throne room through worship and praise. And when I do that, I have faith for my prayers. That's not a hindrance. I just gave you now a key.
Wow. And when you look at your own prayer life, James, I know you love the idea of Christians coming together, interceding as a community, but also just private intercession. What does that look like in your own life? Do you have a daily appointment with God, or do you kind of supplement that in addition to other moments and times of prayer?
It's both. I am a seasonal type person. And so every morning, here's what I do right now. It's different things in different times of my life. I just turned 65 last week, and I've been a believer all my life. So my prayer life has taken on different shapes at different times. Right now, I start every morning on my knees at my bed in a simple posture, and it might be 15 seconds, it might be 15 minutes, and I kneel at my bed, and I say, God, I need you today. God, I worship you today. God, I'm dependent upon you today. God, I cannot do this today without you, and I submit everything to you. Today, I begin. My sacred time is on my knees, in humility, in dependency, in worship to the one true God.
Beautiful. Talking to Dr. James Gall. Don't you love this man? He just wrote the book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman, a 21-day journey to becoming a guardian in prayer. Would love to get a copy into your hands. We've got three to give away, thanks to the publisher. So email if you want in on the drawing, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E at myfaithradio.com. Do remember that mailing address. When we come back, Dr. Gall, I'd love you to talk about what it means to be a friend with God and give us an example from Abraham's life. More great conversation when we return. There's some great songs out there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. James Gall today. He wrote the book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman, a 21-day journey to becoming a guardian in prayer. And if you've just got a heart to up your game, to be involved with some of the issues in the world today and to partner with God to see solutions come about, I mean, you have access to God. If you want to up your game, email me to get in on the drawing for one of James's books, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And, you know, just this morning, James, I read this quote, and it was an unknown author, but it said, "It's no small thing to be on friendship terms with God." And you talk about the life of Abraham and what it looked like to have a confident friendship with God. Talk about just your studies of Abraham's life and what you drew from it.
Well, thank you so much. In this book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman, it's a 21-day journey, and I did especially highlight Abraham, Anna, and Daniel to call forth characteristics from their lives to help us. And with Abraham, there's many things that you could highlight. But one of them that I talk about is it's that place of intimacy. Abraham, we know that he is called the father of our faith. We know that he was a patriarch. We know that he's the first one mentioned in the entire Bible, might be in Genesis chapter 20, that he was a prophet. But Abraham is also called the friend of God. Believers, listeners out there right now, I've traveled the globe. I've written over 40-some books, 20 study manuals, and I keep writing, and I love to do this, and it's an honor. But you know what? When the day is over, it'll be great to be known as an author. It'll be great to be known as an international speaker. But you know what will remain? You know what I want to be known for? You know what I want there to be a reality? I want to be known as a friend of God. And I want to be known as somebody who helped others, like John the Beloved. Lean their head upon the chest of the beloved Abraham. God said, hey, there's a conversation, and it's like Gall paraphrase. The Gall Amplified paraphrase version is like this. Hey, shall we keep a secret the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are having a council in heaven. They're going, shall we keep from Abraham what we're intending on doing? And they're discussing with him, says, well, no, we always clue our friends in. Now, your friends are your friends because they know how to keep their mouth shut. Oh, really? Yes. Your friends are your friends because you can share a secret with them and they know how to hold it. Your friends are your friends because there's trust. Your friends are your friends because they're loyal and they are with you through the mountain and through the valley. Your friends are your friends because you've shared life together. That was Abraham. That's our God. They shared life together. And we are called, in the lifestyle of a watchman, we are called to walk in those footsteps as well. I want to be like Abraham, a friend of God.
Beautifully put. You even say that Abraham, though he obeyed God, he was never like a subservient slave. Say more if you would.
Not at all. You see, it wasn't just command and do. There was interchange. Do you know that prayer is more than God talking to us, or it's more than us talking to God? Prayer is actually two-way communication. That means it's not slavery. It's not just listen and obey, although we need to listen and obey, and a whole lot of people need to get that part down, servanthood. Now, but servanthood, it doesn't stop there. It should lead to friendship because, again, prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is an exchange. Prayer is when one heart is shared and the other heart responds. And that's one of the things that I love and why I call prayer God's equal opportunity employment card, and you can share your heart and you can receive his.
Well, here's another excerpt that I absolutely love, James. You write, our God is someone who has all the power in the universe and upon whom we can depend for every breath we take. Yet he is also someone we can approach without trepidation to argue our case. He could snuff us out instantly if he wanted to, but he loves us too much to do that. His ears and his heart are open to us. He loves it when we lean toward him in confidence. He loves it when we approach him as a friend. just think that's just so beautiful. And love for you, before we get on to the idea of reminding God of his word, love for you just to say a word about the uniqueness that each person has in their relationship with Jesus. He loves us all, but he loves and knows us each uniquely.
He does. Isn't that amazing?
Because
he's our father.
Mm-hmm.
I have four grown kids. I've had the joy of watching them go through growth spurts. I've had the joy of watching them have to handle temptation. I've had the joy of watching them learn how to ride a bicycle. I've had the joy of watching them get a license to drive a car. Oh, Jesus, have mercy then. Okay. I've had the joy of watching them seek God for the purposes. I've had the joy of watching every single one of them get married. God, our Father, is like that. He is so interested in every detail of your life. He wants you to know that he wants to know you. And being a watchman of prayer, a lifestyle, is that invitation that we also get to know him as he knows us.
Oh, that's just beautiful. Okay, James, you've got a chapter titled Remind God of His Word. Love for you to talk about what you mean here.
Yes. See, again, the opening scripture that I used was Isaiah 62, which it said, who remind the Lord. Now, what are we to remind God of? We are to remind God of his promises and appointments that have not fully been met and fulfilled yet. And so where do we find those? In the Bible, the Word of God. In other words, there's prophecies in Scripture that God has here, but he's waiting on us as co-laborers with him to study the Word, to show ourselves approved, and then bring to his remembrance. How about let's just deal with one real simple one out of the book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh. Has that happened yet? No. He's waiting on you to remind him because he wants to engage you. He's inviting us to participation. And so we get to stand in the gap between God's promises, and then we can say, but how about my city? I'm asking, or how about my ethnic group? Or how about the Gall clan? Or my mother, the Burns clan? How about you pour out your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus upon all flesh and personalize it? I just use that as an example of reminding God of his word, which in part is his promises and appointments that have not been fully met and fulfilled yet.
And I know this goes without saying, but I'm quite sure I'll get one email asking about this. We're not reminding him as if he's forgotten, but as you say, we're reminding him as restating something he's already said, and we're engaging with him in that, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It isn't that all of a sudden God went brain dead and he has no memory, and he has memory loss, and so it's like, no. Again, it's about the scepter. Let's consider the book of Esther, the king. The scepter was lowered. And what did that mean? That meant that Hadassah, Esther, had the right of approach. The scepter is lowered towards us as believers from the King of Kings, and we have been given the privilege, the right, and the authority to approach the throne of grace and mercy to bring our appeal to him, and it's called, again, participation.
Don't you think, James, that that, I mean, just what you described there in the book of Esther, which is the case for us, that the King of Kings, you know, the Lord of Lords has extended the scepter, and we have an invitation to approach. I think that's lost on us in this day of such irreverence and even a casual nature in the way we approach our faith. I don't even think we understand what's been actually extended to us. And I don't know that we can be powerful in prayer until we really at least try to grasp who he is and what he's inviting us to.
You know, that's really interesting because, you see, on one hand, what you're saying is it's very, 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 very pertinent. On one hand, See, we do believe in the omnipotence. We believe in the omnipresent. We believe that God's all-powerful, he's all-present, and he's all-everything. And sometimes, because we believe that, then we contrast and we go, well, but then why does he need me? My prayers don't matter. And we don't have the two-edged sword sides of truth, because there's the other side of truth, again, is that he's called us, as I keep saying, to be a co-laborer. He's called us to be a part of the equation. He's called us to enforce the victory of Calvary. He's called us to bring his enemies under our feet, to be presented as a footstool for his feet. And he's called us, on one hand, he could have done it all, and he did on the cross, that he's called us on the other side of truth to be enforcers of the victory of Calvary. So what you're seeing is amazing, because if we understood the right, the authority, and the privilege that we have been given, and if we understood how he yearns for us, it would make a big difference.
Mm. Two passages that I'm thinking of, I think one is Proverbs 9:10, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. I feel like that to the degree that we grow to know him, will we understand on a deeper level the things he asks of us that we don't even understand. And then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I mean, we just start to touch our toes on wisdom when we appropriately and rightly honor him. Well, we actually, here's the next break. I'm telling you, James, we could talk for 2 hours or so much more here.
Yeah.
We're going to pause here, but when we come back, I want you address, you lay out some of the passages in Scripture that invite us to ask and to keep asking, to seek, to knock, and what we ask will be given. Why doesn't it always turn out that way? James addresses that in his book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman. Email if you want in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we'll be back in a minute. You're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with Dr. James Gall. He's got a brand new book out titled The Lifestyle of a Watchman, a 21-day journey to becoming a guardian in prayer. And you list, James, a number of the scripture, like all of this, like these, I should say. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe, you shall receive. You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you to bear fruit that will last. So ask what you will in my Father's name, that he may give it to you. There are plenty of verses that invite us to ask. And I'm thinking of the person listening today going, well, I felt like I had biblical grounds. I asked. It didn't turn out the way I thought. What am I missing? What do you say?
You know, that is not an easy question for me to respond to, okay? But I will probably need some of your help, okay, on answering this question, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because you know what? I live there too. Oh, I do? Yeah. I have a wife who's in heaven today. She's been there for 8.5 years.
Hmm.
And I hear she's doing quite well.
Good news.
Now, she and I went through cancer at the same time.
Wow.
I made it. She didn't. Whose prayers got answered? Whose prayers didn't? Some things I don't fully understand. I know that believers around the world prayed for her, and I know believers around the world prayed for me. Was it I was more special and God just couldn't resist me? No, not in the least bit. I don't fully know some of the answers to these things. And here, and I maybe wrote in the book as though I did, okay? Here's what I want to tell people. No matter what comes, your prayers matter. My wife is healed today, by the way.
Yeah.
My wife is whole. My wife has no sorrow. My wife's hair has grown back. My wife is joyful. My wife is in 24/7, 365 worship. My wife today, my late wife, is fulfilling call, purpose, and destiny in God. We just live it now from two different vantage points, two different locations, her in heaven and me continuing in earth. Now, whose prayers God answered? What were the hindrances? Why, what? Did we ask and keep on asking? Yes. Did we knock and get? Did we seek? Yes, 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 yes. And I want you to know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I want you to also know this. All things, even that which looks like temporary loss, even that which looks like temporary unanswered prayer, all things work together for good to those who love God and been called to his purpose. That's me. That's you. That's all of us. And so I want you to keep on asking. I want you to keep on knocking. I want you to keep on seeking, because this is more about a relationship than it is just getting an answer.
Indeed. And there's so many things we won't see this side of heaven. I mean, truly, as we pray, God moves and we're changed. And there is a ripple effect and an echo that echoes into eternity. So it's not going to be that it was better that we didn't pray because we didn't get on earth what we wanted. There are eternal answers to some of these things. And it'll be as a result of our prayers on earth, even though we're not seeing it now.
No, that's exactly right. I call it the eternal value of prayer. Prayers that I maybe feel like aren't getting through or haven't been, I tell you, they're still echoing in the halls of heaven. And what goes up comes back down, and there's also an accumulation of prayer, and there's also strategic timing. And when the bowls get filled in heaven with the prayers of the saints, God says to the angel to pick it up and throw it back down on the earth. And so prayer matters. All prayer counts. There's an eternal value to prayer. So don't quit. Keep on going.
Indeed. Amen. I thought this was so interesting, James. You said that we can use our intercessory capital to purchase seasons of mercy. Wow, that jumped out at me. I'd love for you to unpack that one, if you would.
Well, that's awesome. You did a great job of reading this book. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's in the book of James. Some people in their prayers, they just want to call down judgment on cities. No, stop it. Please get into the mercy heart of God. There is a realm of a higher realm, and it's to call forth mercy, compassion. And so I want us to be mercy intercessors, not judgment intercessors. I want us to align with this high quality, because mercy triumphs. How about again with Abraham, where he stood in the gap? Stand in the gap for your city. I want us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. And as we do that, we become changed, and we will learn to pray out of a posture of mercy in Jesus' name.
Boy, that's so good. Read an article by Francis Frangipane a bunch of years ago, and he said, same thing, mercy triumphs over judgment. He says, you really don't want to be praying judgment on your city. For one, you live there. You don't think you're going to be impacted by the judgment of God. If you're as if in your own righteousness calling down judgment, and to intercede is to stand in the gap and to say, have mercy. And we see that in Scripture over and over again. And these greats who've gone before us, when they insert themselves and say, have mercy on us, I think is even more powerful.
Absolutely. I agree. Francis Frangipane has been one of the dear men who knows both the realm of power but also character. And so I appreciate that your quoting of him. And well, I can just agree with you and just say, hey, that was good, and I agree with what you just stated.
Wow, love this. Well, this is another one from your book that I'm going to quote in my next book. You write this.
Okay.
Yeah. Your anxieties do not make a good source for your faith. In fact, they make you miss the mark. Anxiety is fear, and fear must be vanquished by faith. Say more if you would. I mean, I really think that's about, you know, going from crisis to crisis praying versus kind of getting your wits about you and vanquishing that anxiety with faith. Say more if you would.
You know, I believe now that we're to be forerunner intercessors, not just after the fact intercessors. Oh, my goodness. What are you, am I talking about? I believe that often, I believe in crisis intervention, in intercession, and I have a whole section of this book that is devoted to that, and in my prayer storm book and other ones. But I believe that we don't need to be cooperating with anxiety. We don't need to be cooperating with just this crisis all the time. We don't need to just be doing crisis management. We need to be spending time with God, get his heart on a matter, and we can cut off something from the enemy before it even gets enacted. We are to not to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. So I'm flipping this from anxiety over into being a person of faith and the prophetic, which can call that which is not as though it already is, and we pray out of that realm of the purposes of God. Now, I believe after the fact prayer, we have sent teams all over the world to then, like when there's a hurricane has come, we have sent humanitarian aid teams. We have sent prayer teams. We need the Mary and the Marthas to be joined together in this generation for such a time as this. And anxiety, cast our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. And then we're going to be clean to be able to carry that which is in God's heart.
Beautiful. So we've got probably about a minute left before it's time to pray. And I'd love for you to say a word about consecration. You know, as we start to press in and draw near, this calls something from us. Say more if you would.
Absolutely. Who can ascend, Psalm 24, to the hill of the Lord, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart? Now, I would almost sort of like to flip that and just say, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord, but he who has a pure heart that results in clean hands? If we start with the external, we won't get there, because we got to clean the inside of the cup first, is what Jesus said. The people that can ascend the hill of the Lord into that place of his gracious, amazing, manifested presence are people that have allowed the process of consecration. Consecration is a work of the cross. Consecration is by the blood of Jesus. Consecration is you turn aside from evil, but you turn aside unto God. His boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. And when we walk in the boundaries of God, we will walk in a safe house. And so, yes, it's very important.
Thank you, Lord. I wonder if you'd pray for us, James, as we wrap here, for every person listening today, that God would just stir in our hearts to rise up and be the intercessors he's called us to be.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for these people. I just pray your blessing through this book, The Lifestyle of a Watchman, the 21-day journey to becoming a guardian prayer. And I just ask you to just lay it on people's hearts if they are to get this as one of the tools of equipping. That I bless them today to be appointed. I bless them today to be chosen. I bless them today to stir up faith within their heart. I bless them today with a revelation. All prayer matters, and all prayer works. And I thank you for each of these, and may you pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication upon them for such a time as this, in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Amen. Love this time so much with you, James, and you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.